Well, good morning again, and God bless you. It's our time to get into the Word of God together. So if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. Father, we ask that you would take the truths that we're going to look at today, that you would plant them deep in our hearts, that they would accomplish what you set forth for them to do in each one of us. We thank you for the life that we find in the Scripture. And we pray today that it would have its way with each one of our hearts. That you would cause our eyes to look away from the distractions of our life and to focus the eyes of our heart upon who you are, your truth, and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This week, as I was kind of meditating on what God might have me to share with you, the one thing I felt like the Holy Spirit popped into my heart was the truth of two thrones. The truth of two thrones. I'm thankful, especially the older that I get, for an app that's on my smartphone. It's called the Calendar app. And in that Calendar app, with the busyness of our days and the lifestyles, we have the ability to set an appointment reminder. Several times I've gotten phone calls from dentists and doctors telling me that I have forgotten my appointment. But now I use that app quite frequently because with the busyness of life, we can kind of get our attention and our eyes off of appointments that we have. The appointment reminder will go off hours prior to the appointment because there's a good chance it might slip from our memory. And I think today the Spirit of God, through the Word, wants to trigger our hearts that there's an appointment that we cannot forget, we cannot afford to forget about, that we need to prepare for. And I believe it's found in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's two inevitables in our life that we have to face. Number one is that our life here doesn't last forever. And number two, someday I will give an account before God. There's a day of accountability coming. There's a day of reckoning coming. This is what we know is Judgment Day. The good news is, there is good news in this. And the good news can be found in the first throne that we're going to look at today. The first throne is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. This is a judgment seat that does not refer to anything about us being penalized or guilty or judged for sin or anything like that. This is what is referred to as the Bema seat of Jesus Christ or the reward seat of Jesus Christ. When we pass into the next life as believers, we get Jesus, we get heaven, we get our loved ones who have passed on in Christ, but we also get rewards, the Bible tells us. I want to remind you that the nature of God, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that God is a rewarder. God loves to reward his children the same way that we love to reward our children. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That all is a specific encompassing group. And the group of people that he is referring here to today that we see in this chapter is the group of people that he speaks about a few verses later in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. These are the people that in this life decided to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. This is the group that he's speaking about here. This is the crowd that he's writing to here. That if you're in Jesus Christ here today, God's design for you someday when you cross the threshold of life into eternity is that he wants to reward you. He wants to bless you with his rewards. But he says here that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word appear there literally means that we, who we are, will be manifested or will be revealed. This is where we will be turned inside out. And who we truly are will be shown and it will be known. The heart that we've lived our life with, the mind that we chose to believe, and the motive for what we did in our service to the kingdom of God. Everything on the inside will be revealed on the outside. He says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The word bad there speaks of the word worthless, that it would have no lasting values at all. It speaks about people who have chosen in this life to put their faith in Christ, but they've chosen to live for the treasures of this life and have not stored up any treasures in heaven. Take your Bibles and go back one book and a few chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible continues to build upon this truth. First Corinthians chapter 3. It speaks about the foundation of our life. It says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, and that's Jesus Christ. It's speaking about building our lives on who Jesus is. Building our lives on what Jesus says. And building our lives in faith on what Jesus Christ has done for us. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he's built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Bible tells us that we have two ways that we can live our life. We can live our lives as Christians, invest in our lives for the glory of God and for the furthering of the kingdom of God. With a heart that wants to see Jesus Christ glorified. With a life that wants to labor to see other people come into his kingdom. Or we can live our life for the pleasures and the treasures that are laid out here on this temporal realm that we call life. But we recognize here that there's two things that are going to happen in our future. We're either going to stand before Christ as his people, and we're going to receive rewards based upon the faithfulness of following through on what God's asked of us as Christians, or we're going to lose rewards. It'll be a saved soul, but it'll be a wasted life. Paul the Apostle, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, was about ready to go to heaven. And when he was about ready to go to heaven, he spoke to us how he fought the good fight, how he kept the faith, and how he finished his course. And because of that, he had confidence that there was a crown of rejoicing awaiting him, because he lived his life looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ at any moment. James speaks to us about a crown of life for people out there who are enduring the trials and the temptations that are being thrown our way day after day. Peter writes to us about a crown of glory given to people who are faithful to declare the word of God into other people's lives. 1 Thessalonians 2 speaks about the crown of a soul winner, the crown of rejoicing. And in 1 Corinthians 9, there's a crown that's awarded for godly living. I believe that these crowns that we read about here in the Bible, that will be received at the Bema Seat, the reward seat of Jesus Christ, are something that God wants to give to us. He wants to give these things to us because they testify of His accomplishment in our lives. I believe that part of our life in eternity and our life in heaven is going to be this rewarded heavenly adornment. And that other people would see the work that He was able to accomplish in our life while we were on this side of eternity, and to give Him the praise for what He accomplished in each one of our lives. I believe it's an act of heavenly worship when John saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he got to be able to be transported into the heavenly throne room, and he saw the 24 elders fall on their face before God, worshiping Him. It says that they cast their crowns before Him and gave Him the praise and the glory that He was so worthy of. I believe that the rewards that Christ are going to give us someday based upon our faithfulness to what He asked of us while we're here on earth is going to be part of our enjoyment of worshiping Him and giving Him the honor and the glory that He so richly due. I also believe that it's going to be part of our position of authority and responsibility based upon our faithfulness to Jesus Christ while we were here on earth. There was a story told, and I think it's pretty symbolic of what our lives can be, of this poor beggar sitting alongside of a road. And a rich sheik came by with his entourage and his camels and his treasures. And as the poor beggar came up to him and asked of him for some of his treasures, because this man was so meager and so poor, the rich sheik asked him if he could have some of his rice. He had a small bowl of rice, not much in there, but he asked him if he could have some of his rice. So the beggar went over to his bowl of rice, and he brought him back one grain of rice. And he gave it to that sheik, and that sheik asked him if he could have one more. Or if he could have some more of his rice. So that poor beggar brought him over one more grain of rice. And that rich sheik asked him one more time. And that poor beggar brought him over one more grain of rice. And as the sheik drove by this beggar, not giving him anything, he threw something into his bowl of rice. And when the poor man went back to his bowl of rice, he found a piece of gold the size of a grain of rice. And he looked a little harder, and he found another piece of gold the size of a grain of rice. Till he continued to look, and he found three pieces of gold the size of a grain of rice. He could have had so much more if he wouldn't have resisted, if he wouldn't have held back when he was asked to give this man of his rice. He could have had so much more, and he settled for such little reward because he wanted to hold back that which he thought belonged to him. And how many of us as Christians, we do the same thing? There's so much that God wants to accomplish through our lives. There's so many ways that He wants to use us for His honor and for His glory. But we resist these things. We hold back from Him. And we don't allow ourselves to reach our full capacity of serving Him, loving Him, and taking steps of faith for His honor, glory, and for the furthering of His kingdom. This man could have had so much more, and he settled for so much less. I believe that at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, there could be tears there. I believe there will be tears there. And there'll be the tears of regret, because there was so much more for me that God wanted to do for me. But I limited everything that He wanted to do in and through my life. I believe for us as Christians, when we study the Bible and read the Bible, that we recognize that this life is a stewardship. It's a sacred entrustment. If Christ is your Lord and Savior, you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the blood of Almighty God. And with that comes great responsibility, that God has taken ownership over our lives, and He's invested into us. He's invested certain talents. He's invested special gifts. He's given us the precious commodity of time. And He's blessed us with much material blessing, much financial blessing, especially in the country with what we live. But Ephesians tells us that God saved us by His grace through faith. But the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 tells us that we were saved with a purpose. That there were works ordained before the foundation of the world that God has designed for your life. I believe someday when we as individuals stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, we're going to see this treasure chest of reward. And that treasure chest of reward is yours. That treasure chest of reward is mine. And I believe that God's going to pick out of that treasure chest, and He's going to reward us out of that treasure chest based upon our faithfulness with what He's asked of our lives. And I believe some of the sadness or regret we might have is the treasures that were ordained for our lives that are going to stay in that treasure chest that He's not going to be able to give to us on that day, because we chose to resist in areas. We chose to withhold ourselves in areas. We chose not to exercise a life of faith because we were too busy leaning on our own understanding. Or we are too busy going with just the crowd and the normal of what we see in Christianity instead of living at full throttle for the glory of God. I want to give you a word of exhortation today. For those of you who are in Jesus Christ today, it's appointed unto you to stand at this judgment. It's appointed unto you, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to stand there on the day of reckoning. And we give an account for the life that He's entrusted to us. I want you lavished with rewards. I want the rewards of God. But we're only going to receive them by being good and faithful servants. If you'll turn to the book of Galatians with me. Chapter 6. For those of you out there, you're fighting a good fight of faith. Hardship. Discouragement, warfare, adversity. Those are the things that you're experiencing because you're following the will of God for your life. I want to encourage you what the Bible declares to us in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. You have a season when you're going to be reaping the blessings of God in your life. If you continue on with a persevering spirit, when you continue on with a no-quit attitude, He says if we faint not, that word means to discharge responsibilities and obedience to the Lord. Don't give up on what God's called you to. Don't give up on the ministry that He's given you. Don't give up on the marriage that He's given you. The parenting that He's given you. The witness that He's asked you to be. We're told in the book of 1 Corinthians that we are to be steadfast. We are to be diligent. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look, at times it's going to look like it's in vain. In times it's going to look, feel like it's in vain. But we've got to believe what God's word says. And everything you do for the glory of God is not in vain. Don't let the enemy sow those lies into your mind. That's what the word of God declares to us. Jesus Christ spoke to the church and he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou that which you hast, lest any man take thy crown." He wrote this to a church that was keeping his word. He wrote this to a church that would not deny his name. He wrote this to a church that knew how weak they were, but how strong he is. And he says, "I come quickly. Hold what you have." I want to encourage you today. Our King is coming soon. You need to hold your course. You need to hold on to the love of God. You need to hold on to your calling and hold on to His truth. You will not regret it. You don't let anybody take your crown. God's ordained things for your life. God's purpose things for your life from the foundation of the world. You play an intricate part of His eternal plan for His glory. You're not here purposeless. You're here by purpose. We're born for such a time as this. This is a time for the church to be seeking the face of God about how we're going to finish. Today's a day where changes need to be made because choices need to be made. You can't do anything about your past, but you can make the decisions today that are going to impact the way that you finish your course for Christ. That's what Jesus wants us to do. A man who was a pastor to me, who was a man that I never even met, was Chuck Smith. And Chuck Smith was a very smart man, very scholarly, very academic, and he had a driving force inside of him to be a doctor. And he was heading in that direction to be a doctor. But the Spirit of God spoke to his heart. And the Spirit of God told Chuck, "You can be a doctor and you can help people heal for a temporal period of time. Or you can answer my call to be a shepherd and you can help people heal for all of eternity." It would have been a good thing to be a doctor. He could have lived a good, godly life. But God called him to something different. And because he called him to something different, and because he responded to the voice of God, God used him and his wife to be a couple of the catalysts that brought forth the last great revival that we've seen in the United States of America in the hippie movement in the late 60s and early 70s. That was his purpose. It's about finding our purpose. George Whitefield, who was one of the great voices of the first great awakening in this country, has said this. This is posted on the side of his tombstone. "The manner of man George Whitefield was, that day shall declare." C.T. Studd said this: "When this life is over and past, only what is done for Jesus Christ shall last." These were lives that chose to live with eternity stamped on their eyeballs. They chose to live every day with their appointment reminder going off. The Holy Spirit was their appointment reminder. They recognized that a life invested is a life that is not wasted. Someday you're going to get to heaven and you're going to meet a man by the name of Charles Finney. Charles Finney had such an anointing of God that he preached in these areas. And when he preached in these areas, the Holy Ghost fell. When the Holy Ghost fell, people's lives were changed. People were turning from wickedness. Corrupt evil businesses were shutting down. And people were coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And someday when we get to heaven, we're going to see this man rewarded We're going to see the adornment of all that Christ did through his life. But you're probably going to see someone hanging out with him who probably might have more treasures than him. And people are going to say, who is that? Well, prior to Charles Finney coming into any area, before he would preach the gospel, lives would be transformed, eternity would be changed through the preaching of the gospel of Charles Finney. 2 weeks prior to that, a man by the name of Daniel Nash would go into that area. He'd rent a hotel room, and he would pray and fast and get on his face before God, weeping for the condition of people's souls. And after about 2 weeks' period of time, after enough prayer had gone up, after enough fasting, after he felt like the enemy had been driven out, it was time for the Spirit of God to fall, that he would get a hold of Charles and he'd say, now's the time. We wouldn't be talking about a Charles Finney if there wasn't a Daniel Nash. He's the one you don't hear about, but he was the one that was faithful to what God asked of him. God's not asking you what you can't do for him. God's asking you what you can do for him. We're going to be at this Bema seat someday, and we're going to have a heart full of regret, or we're going to have a heart with no regret. And it's all going to be based upon the decisions and the choices of why we get up every morning and who we choose to live our day for. I'm going to tell you today, today counts. Today matters. Your life counts. Your heart is the Holy of Holies. Your home is God's sanctuary. And your job is your mission field. That's the way God wants you to see life. God's purposes need to be in the crosshairs of our heart's focus if we want to stand before him someday, not ashamed, with confidence, like Paul said. I want you to look at the next portion of the verse that follows up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this. He says, I'll read it again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what Paul said. It literally means we seek to win them. We seek to win them out of the kingdom of darkness, that they might be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Because he knew the reality of eternity. He says, my life commission is to seek to win men. Part of the purpose why we're here today is because if you have come here today and you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, our heart to do this is to seek to win you to his salvation. Now we're going to close out taking a look at the other throne. I told you it's the truth of two thrones. And the path splits. And we will stand before one or two thrones based upon what we did with Jesus Christ. You can turn to Revelation chapter 20 with me. God has entrusted to you your free will. Every day, we make decisions and we make choices. Every day we come across personal forks in the personal roads of our life. There is no more important decision that you will make in this life than what you do with Jesus Christ. God didn't send his Son into this world so that we could have some nice little nativity story to tell at Christmas time. The mission of that manger was a bloody cross to make the payment for your sins and mine. That's why Christ came, to save his people from their sins. We're looking at another throne. I started with the good news, and here's the bad news. There's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of personal accountability that we're going to give to the one that created us. And this is a throne for the people who chose not to be saved by grace through faith. And now they have to stand at the throne of justice. The most terrifying thought and one of the most terrifying scriptures of inevitable truth in the future is found in this chapter. Jesus Christ wants you to meet him at the throne room of mercy, not the throne room of justice. Because if we receive God's justice, no one can stand. But if we receive God's grace and mercy and salvation, we all will be able to stand before the reward seat of Christ. But another scary verse in the Bible that ties with this is Jesus said this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and thy name we've cast out devil, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." This is a scary indictment because these people were spiritual and these people were churched. This is one of the most terrifying scriptures in the Bible because it was active church people it was spoken to. It was unsaved spiritual masses with lifestyles that contradict their Sunday morning lip service. The book of Jeremiah says the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. We need to ask ourselves truly today, are we churched or are we saved? Those are two radically contrasting differences. It's easy to go through the methods of spirituality, but God wants us tied in an abiding relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 20 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, they stood before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." These future facts are designed to impact our present perspective. These are realities that are inevitable. These are things that will take place. You and I will experience one of these two thrones. And I want to persuade you, like Paul said, I want to win you over to the goodness of God. He loves you so much. His Son came to pay for everything that you've did so that you can have the right standing with God Almighty. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today is a day to let go of control of your life and to surrender your soul to Him, to His Saviorship and His Lordship in your life, because He loves you. God loves you. He couldn't have demonstrated it any better than to demonstrate it by sacrificing His Son to show you the value that you hold to Him, that I hold to Him. God's a God of love, but He's also a God of justice. And I pray someday that you will be able to stand before the reward seat of Jesus Christ, able to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." I pray that God will be able to reward you and lavish you with His rewards. The way that we choose to live life matters. The life of love is the life Jesus will reward. The life of pure-hearted service is the life Jesus will reward. The life of personal sacrifice, faithfulness, The life of surrender to Him is the life that Jesus Christ will reward. The life that's looking for Christ to come quickly is the life He will reward. The life that looks to win souls. The life that's enduring the trials and temptations of life. The life that is that's offering God-honoring living before the throne of God. And the life that's faithfully teaching from the source of all truth. That is the life that God is going to reward. God's truth has within it the design to bring change where it needs to. Maybe today, as we examine our life, as Paul said, we're to examine ourselves. Maybe we need to recognize that there's more self in my life than sacrifice for God in my life. Maybe there's more focus down here on the temporal plane than there is on the eternal plane. Maybe there's more about my will being done than His will being done. Maybe there's more about me being busy about my own personal business than the fact that God has business for me today. Maybe it's a revelation that I've been living too much for the things that have no eternal value. Maybe it's a time for me to come face to face with a point that I have an appointment reminder that is found in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to stand before the reward seat of Jesus Christ. I'm going to either receive rewards or I'm going to lose rewards. And the key component on what takes place is how faithful I'm living, how faithful I'm being to Him and His Word today. Maybe you're here today and we look quickly at that last throne because that appointment reminder has to go off for you because you haven't received Christ yet. Maybe you have been churched. You might even be busy about going to church. You might be serving in several different committees, doing all kinds of things. You know, when you leave the God, they're gone. And the things on Friday and Saturday night are contradictory to the things that you're agreeing to on Sunday morning. Maybe you've got the personal revelation, I haven't had this encounter with Christ. Maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe you're here today because God sees you as a treasure worth dying for. And it pains Him to think of you not being with Him for all of eternity. Maybe He brought you here to hear that God loves you. But you need to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ right now. Listen, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if you don't know where you stand with God, maybe that kind of hit you. Yeah, man, I think I am church. I do go to church. Maybe you're the Easter Christmas Christian. But you're truly not saved. Christ isn't the love and the priority of your heart. And I'll lead you in a prayer, but a couple things before you leave here today. Number one is we're handing out Heaven's stimulus package. If you don't have a Bible, we will be over there handing out Bibles for free to anybody that needs one. There's nothing that's going to stimulate your heart more living for the glory of God other than the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Word. So we're going to close, and I want you to know that Heaven has set an appointment reminder for you and I today, that we're going to stand before one of two thrones, and I pray that we would be living full out for the things that God has called our life to. Don't get sidetracked by the world. Don't get sidetracked by the things that have no everlasting value. Hold your course to the things that hold value. Hold your course to the things that are going to honor God. Don't let anybody take your crown. If you don't know Christ, He wants to come into your heart today. He wants to forgive you of all of your sins today. Maybe that years ago that still haunts you today. He wants to offer you forgiveness for it. I'm going to say a prayer and you can... It's not a magic prayer, but if the truth of it is how you feel in your heart, you can choose to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today. You can know on this day you are saved. And you can know you don't have to fear the great white throne judgment, because now God's going to do a work in your life. Take you to the Bema Seat judgment, where He can reward you for the faithful life that He's going to strengthen you to live from here on out. So if you don't know Christ, repeat after me. Father, I thank You that You love me, and You showed me Your love when You sent Your Son to die for my sins and to offer up His life on the cross as a payment for my sins. I choose right now to repent of my sin and to receive Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I believe He died on the cross and He rose again the third day. I offer a heart of surrender to You. I ask You to come in and to take my heart and to strengthen me to live my life for whatever days I have left for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And Father, I pray that a spirit of faithfulness would fall upon Your people. Lord, that we would find ourselves looking to the things You've entrusted to our lives, and that we would find ourselves daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly being faithful to the things that You've asked of us. I pray each one of us would find our life's calling, and we would fulfill our life's calling by the power of the Holy Spirit. That someday when we stand before You and we remember the life that You laid down for us, that we would be able to reciprocate back to You a life that we laid down for You. Bless Your people. Bless us, Lord, with the ability to take our eyes off of the treasures of this life and to keep our eyes on the treasure of this next life. Lord, we look forward to seeing You face to face, because ultimately You're the greatest treasure of heaven. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You that we were able to do this today. And we pray that You would bless Your truths into our hearts, that we would be the people that You ordained us to be before the foundation of the world. In the wonderful, amazing, powerful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.